I'm not so sure my wife would go with the sweet part, but anyway, thank you all. It's a joy to be together, and whoa, just about lost my water here. So anyway, okay. Well, we all come with different situations, and I hope that as we just sang that. The Lord has met your greatest need in the salvation of our souls through receiving Christ as our Savior. And we thirst. The world has so many different ways they try to satisfy their deepest longing. And if it's not through Christ, it never lasts. So we hope that you know Him and He is your Savior and you can rest in that. But we know we also have a lot of growing to do. We just start the Christian life and there's a journey ahead of us, and hopefully our time together will just help you on your journey, wherever it's at. So let's ask the Lord to help us and guide me. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are the sovereign. Thank you that you are God of love. That's why you sent your Son, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. We thank you. And Father, we just pray for each one that none of us would be without the Savior, that He would be our Savior. We put our faith in Him. And Father, we also pray that we'll grow. It's a wonderful thing to we get so excited when there's a little baby, but none of us want a little baby to stay a little baby. We all want to grow, not only physically, but spiritually. So we pray that we will, and this will be just one more help in your word, through your word, by your Spirit. To guide us. We just want to humble ourselves before you and ask that you would have your way right now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we've all heard of Billy Graham, amazing life he lived. It was years and years and years ago, 1945, when Billy really got his start. He was 27, and he seemed like to come out of nowhere. He became outstanding evangelistic speaker and preacher, and many, many people came to faith in Christ through his ministry. You may not be so familiar with another young man. He was actually 25. His name was Bron Clifford. He was also a preacher, and he kind of got his spring in 45 as well, years and years ago. He was very, very gifted, and some felt that he was more gifted than Billy Graham. He was a powerful speaker. He, too, filled auditoriums. At only age 25, he influenced more leaders, set more attendance records than any other clergyman in his age in the American history books. That's an amazing thing. 25. Wow. Now, why didn't we hear more about him? Well, it was about 10 years later, 1954. Bron Clifford had lost his family, his ministry, his health, and ultimately his life. Alcohol and financial irresponsibility had done him in. He wound up leaving his wife and their two Down syndrome children. At just 35 years of age, this once great preacher died from cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel on the outskirts of Amarillo, Texas. One said of his life, and of him, that he was unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Actually, there were several clergy in that area, in Amarillo area, who had to take up a collection to buy him a casket to send him back east to be buried in a cemetery for people who were desperately poor. Now, the question is, what went wrong? Whoa. That's a scary thing. You know, we can all kind of point our bony finger and say, oh, man. But you know what? we all have our struggles. As Christians, and the most wonderful thing, if you can step, you realize that Christ died for your sins, you trust Him, you put your faith in Him and Him alone. Romans has talked about that again and again. We're justified, we're declared right by God through faith in Christ. It's the only way. But once you put your faith in Christ, that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. And what the Lord has for us, He wants us to learn to walk wisely so we don't end up in some disastrous conclusion of life. Now, you can end up, you may not end up dead drunk in an Amarillo hotel in Texas somewhere. But you can mess up your life so much, even as a Christian, that everything is shattered. You know, one of the things, and a lot of times a young believer does not know this, and I think a lot of us, we start out this way. You think once you're saved, man, this is the parade. This is awesome. I'm not going to have any more struggles. Well, it takes about 2 hours, right? And you think, oh, man, I didn't know I still had that selfish streak, right? Oh, why did I lose my temper? That was a nothing issue. You see, we still, even as a Christian, you are forgiven of your sins, but until we're with the Lord, we still have this capacity within us to sin. It's called, we could call it a sin nature, but this is a capacity within us that still drags us in the wrong direction and wants to take us down. And we got to be alert to that. How do we deal with that? You see, it's not enough to ignore it. It's not enough to say, well, I'll try harder. We have to know what God has provided so we can begin to conquer it instead of allowing it to conquer us. And that is why Romans, Paul writes, and God directs Paul to write, first of all, how to be justified, how to be declared righteous, how to be saved, how to be forgiven of your sins. And now he is going to teach us, instruct us how to be, we use a word, big word, sanctification, but how to grow in the Lord, how to really get wise and walk wisely and not trash our lives. Think of all the dear people we love that are on this, have driven off the Christian life, off the road, and they're in a ditch, spiritual ditch, even this morning. We don't want to be in that ditch. And we're not going to point our bony finger because we have the potential to be in that ditch, right? But we want to find out God's solution so we can walk wisely and godly and make this life really work. Theodore Epp, who's now with the Lord, he said this: the powerful sin nature wants to continuously enslave a person even after he has received Jesus Christ as Savior. The question each believer must answer is, am I going to continue to stumble because of this sin nature, or am I going to win over it? Now, none of us want to end life and say, man, I lost. That was a write-off. None of us want to end that way, right? Well, we need Romans 6. One has called it the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. How to really be liberated the way God wants us to live. To be liberated from that cruddy thing within that wants to drag us down. Now let's go to Romans 6. Now, it's interesting, we walk in this door of Romans 6. We've just walked out of a passage where it says in Romans 5:20, the law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Well, isn't that awesome? I mean, if you've got a really, really dirty track record, I mean, you hope nobody ever finds out, right? Grace, God's amazing grace, His amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing. God's grace superabounds beyond sin. But there's Paul knows there's people in the audience or people who are going to read what he's written, and they have a distorted view of life. Some of them are legalist and some of them are libertarian. And the question comes up, Notice in verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Now, Paul writes this because he knows the way we think. Some people say, well, grace is so awesome, let's just sin it up and let's let grace overcome it all. Is that the way we're supposed to live? Well, there's some people that preach that. I remember one time watching a little TV excerpt. I did not watch this program on a regular basis, but the guy's sitting up and he's sitting, this is on the TV show, he's sitting in his chair, right here. It's a lot more cushy than this, it's leather lined, and oh man, it's really cool. And he's sitting, he's got it, oh, his legs are up in the air, and he's a preacher, right? Preacher. And he's got his big cigar. Grace abounds, right? That was his message. He didn't read Romans 6. Now, before I trip on this, I better move it back. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul brings up an issue, this question. Grace is awesome. Let's not minimize grace. It's wonderful. It is amazing. We thank the Lord for it. But do we continue in sin? That whole area, the sphere of sin, allowing it to ruin our lives. Do we go there so that grace will increase? Well, his answer, I mean, you knew where this was going, but we need to understand it. He says this, may it never be. Now, that almost seems a weak statement. Meganoita is actually the terminology in the Greek. Meganoita, it's a very, very strong term. Heavens forbid, no. There's no way should we. This is unthinkable. God, this is not the best for your life. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? God says, no. Yes, grace abounds. But it does not abound to your ruin to let sin just live at full-fledged, full run, full speed and destroy you. That's not the goal. That's not God's goal through grace. Grace has something far more awesome and more wonderful for us. But he goes on, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Absolutely not. But, you know, it's like, remember, it's been a long time since I've had a little one, but now we're into grandkids now, right? And so, actually, our grandkids were over yesterday a little bit. So, our littlest one, she always has a plan. She always has a plan, right? And she says to me, the kids were upstairs, the other kids were upstairs, and my son was upstairs. And she says, let's go down to the basement. She always wants to drag me away to some other land, right? So we'll do something different. But anyway, sometimes when you say no, honey, she doesn't understand. She doesn't know how to spell no, right? And so no, you know. And she smiles and still does it the other way, right? Isn't that the way we are? But if I said to her, now, we can't do that, and then I get, you know, if I say no, if I just say no to her, now, of course, it's amazing, she's so little, but she needs a little bit of an explanation why the answer is no. Now, if Paul just said here, we would all say, well, that's true, show grace abound, that, you know, just sin it up. No, absolutely not. Well, if you just tell your kids, and you do this on a repeated basis, you just tell them no, but you don't give them explanation, they're going to think, there's no answer. They don't know what they're talking about. Paul says, hey, listen up. I've got an answer. I've got an explanation. I want you to understand this. It's absolutely right. We're not to continue in sin and allow grace to bend. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Now, just think of this as he goes on to explain. Now, this is interesting. How shall we who died to sin? What is he talking about? Now, we've said this on various occasions, but I think it's important for us to remember. Death is not cessation. Everything doesn't just stop. You know, people think, well, you know, a lot of people in this sad, sad, mixed up, confused world think, well, if I just take my life, you know, this is a mess. I'm out of here and it'll be all over. It's not all over. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, you're separated from God forever, but you will be conscious forever. You don't go out of existence. Spiritually, we are dead. We're the idea of separation. We are dead to sin. Now, we have to think about this carefully. It doesn't mean sin's not there. And it doesn't mean we're not, we've gone out of existence. But we are dead to sin, so we got to think. Death does not refer to cessation, but separation. We're separated from sin in a sense, and we'll talk about that, because Paul's going to explain this to us so we really get it. The sin nature that has dominated us, especially as unbelievers, I mean, you know, we were dominated. Some people, you know, sin kind of had a cutesy look, you know, or the refined look of sin. But every unbeliever, sin is the main deal, right? Sin, pushes them and directs them. They may be really sweet on the outside, but there's a wrong motive on the inside. But whatever it is, but when we come to Christ, sin does not have to run us and rule us. We're dead to it, and we'll talk more what that means. The power of sin no longer, if you're a Christian, no longer has the authority or the right to run your life. This is a wonderful thing. If we get this, if we grasp this, it can change the way we think, and it can change the way we get through the rest of our life. Now, an unbeliever, it says, and this drops on down in Romans 6, 17, you were slaves of sin. That's the way it was. Before Christ, slaves of sin. We just as well as been people in shackles, you know, having, I saw this show the other day, you know, these two guys were chained together, right? And they were walking along, right, trying to stay in step with each other, right? Chained. You know what? We're chained to sin before Christ. We're enslaved. But as a Christian, when you step through the door into your life by trusting Christ, now you have a choice. Now you can still say, yes, I give in to sin. But now you have a choice. You can now say, no, I'm not going to give in to sin. There's an option. And this is awesome. And we need this option. We died to sin in the sense that we have been, and kind of a profound concept which we can't totally grasp, but positionally, from God's vantage point, it's true. It's not like it's made up. It's not imaginary. But positionally, from God's vantage point, He has done something that we can't see it, we can't touch it, but it's very real. Positionally, we have been separated so that sin does not have to ruin us. As one writes, sin no longer has the right to control you if you know Christ as your Savior. Again, we can allow it, right? We're not going to, you know, raise our hands or share testimonies, but think of a time you allowed sin to rule this last week. Maybe, you know, or maybe it's even ruling this morning. You know, you got something against somebody and you refuse to forgive them. That's allowing sin to rule, right? That's allowing sin to run its course and run your life. But it comes in all different shapes and sizes. But we can allow sin free reign. Like, I remember the way back days of being on the farm, and, you know, we'd be my brother and I, if we were riding two separate horses together, we'd run back to the barn. Of course, the horses, they never wanted to go away from the barn. They wanted to come back to the barn, right? Because that meant grain. So they were really motivated when you turned around to head home, right? But if you would let those horses have free rein, man, you were thinking, am I going to live through this moment? You're holding on right to your life because they are going. And the horse, I had it was called a martingale, which what it was a piece of leather. It was strapped onto the saddle, the strap underneath, and the martingale came up, and it came to the bit, the bridle and the bit on the horse. because the reason I had to have it on that horse, oh, threw its head. And the reason it threw its head, it would try to get that bit in such a way that you could pull back, but it wouldn't affect the horse, because he didn't want to stop. He just wanted you to die. You know, that was the whole plan. But you're running along, and he'd throw his head. You know, if I just let that horse have free rein, I probably wouldn't be here today, right? But he wanted his free rein. And sin wants to run. And sin will run. And sin will bite that bit, and it will take you for the ride of your life. God said, no. I've got a whole lot better plan for you. I don't want sin to ruin you. I don't want it to take the bit and drive you into the ground. God loves us too much for that. Notice, go back to our passage. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That would be ridiculous. Why should we allow it to hold a grip on our life? Don't do it. You know, the thing about sin is, I read this, and I may have given this illustration in the past, but I read this story of a captain at sea, and in years back when they didn't have some of the communication obviously we have now, but the captain is in control of the ship. He's in control. He's the ultimate king, right, of that ship. And in this particular case, the captain was brutal. I mean, he was brutal. We'd probably call him today absolutely narcissistic, you know, over the top. And he was abusive. He would hit and kick the sailors for no reason, just because he was in charge. Well, finally, the sailors had so much, and they'd been beat up and brutalized and mocked. And finally, they went to the second guy in command and says, "We can't take this. We cannot take this anymore." And the second in command realized this is way out of whack. So he made communication back, and they gave him permission to take over the ship. Well, you can imagine how the first guy, they said for the commander in chief, he's no longer in authority. We're not going to put him, you know, in the room downstairs, lock the door. He can roam the ship, but he's not in charge. Well, you can imagine a man like that. He's not going to accept that. He's going around, you know, in his same tone, attitude, sulking, giving orders, barking out orders. And one time, he was doing the floors, you know, mopping the floors, and this guy came along barking, and the guy's, you know, from previous experience, he's scrubbing, right? And finally, the guy thought, what am I doing? This guy's not in charge. You know, what are you doing? Sin's not in charge. But we can allow it. It's still going to bark orders. Because we have makeup, we have a history, we have a past, we have things that have come into us. If you have an anger issue, if you have other things that, you know, it's gonna come right back at you. It's going to feel like it did before you were saved sometimes. The difference is, it doesn't have the authority it had before. But we need to know that, because it's still going to bark. It's still going to yell at us. It's still going to try to force us to do what we really don't want to do. But we have to understand what God has provided, so we don't give in to sin's orders. We're dead to sin. Now, he goes on and gives further explanation. Notice in verse 3. Or do you not know? Now, let me just be real clear here. I think it's a question a lot of people have not answered. Do you not know? A lot of Christians don't know. I quote, provision for a spiritually mature life are plentiful, but defeat lies largely in our ignorance of what has been provided for us. Would you agree with that? You know, a lot, you get, you know, a person comes to Christ, they're young in the Lord, And at first they start reading their Bible, right? Ah, man, this is kind of fun. You know, oh, I never saw that. Oh, man, this is exciting, you know. But as time goes along, I know there's lots of pressures, right? We all have pressures, and the Bible gets a tad bit boring. And, oh, man, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm saved, going to heaven. That's all that counts. What happens, though, is that person, if they don't get to know what God's provided, they begin, it's slow, usually slow, but it's kind of a slow slide down. They don't know much of what they have. They don't know what to do with it. Sometime back, Mike knows about this, but we had somebody run into one of our cars, and so we had to take it and get it fixed and get it nice and shaped and all of that, right? So anyway, on the day that I was to take it to where they were going to take the ding and dent out, they said, "Oh, I've got a car. We'll take you over here and you can get a rental car, and then you'll have it for a couple of days until we get this thing fixed," right? I think, well, that's great, you know, that's great. And so we get over there, and I'm standing in line with everybody else who's standing in line. And I get up there, I give my name, and they said, they look back, and they look at me, and they say, "I'm sorry, we don't have a reservation for you." What am I going to do, fly? But anyway, I was very nice. I didn't say anything. So, they said, we have one car. Would you mind driving a BMW? Oh, I don't know if I can bend that low, right? A BMW. I've never even been in a BMW. If you have one, I want to ride. But anyway, they said, "You want to ride in our BMW? You want to take this?" I said, I don't want to fly. I can't fly. I'll drive the BMW, right? I thought, this is a cool thing, right? I'm going to look so cool. Anyway, I get in the BMW. They take me out. I've never been in a BMW before. I don't know. The only thing I recognized was steering wheel. It had a steering wheel, right? Everything else was foreign. And so I'm thinking, and then I go back in, I say, how do I do this, right? I think it was musty that day. I said, how do I get the windshield wipers to work? Where are the lights, you know? I'm driving down the road. This is after my five-minute demo inscription, and I'm driving down. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing, where I'm going, how I'm going to get there. And then I think, you know what? I've had a lot of accidents and people die just leaving the rental place, right? Because you don't know what you're doing. You're looking at all these things. Where do I go? What do I do? How does this work? I don't know what I got. I had a BMW. I look cool. But I was just about ready to die. Right? There's a lot of Christians like that. We have got such an awesome salvation in Christ. We don't have a clue. God says, I want you to know. I want you to know what you got so you can use it. Then he goes on. Notice what he says. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Baptized into his death. Now, the word baptized, let's don't get lost here. Baptism, the word was used even in the early Greek of a piece of iron. So let's say a person who works in metal. Let's say horseshoes, because I like horseshoes. But anyway, say they made a horseshoe, and it's just hot. You know, they got it all hot. And they stick it into our, right? That's baptized. Putting it into the water. Putting it in. We have been placed in, spiritually, been placed in to Christ. Now, we're not talking water baptism. Water baptism does not get you saved. It does not make you spiritual. It is part of, it's a symbol of something that's wonderful that's happened to us. So it's important, but it won't save you. And it doesn't place you into Christ. The Spirit of God is the one who places us into Christ. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we are placed by the Spirit into a union with Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, awesome, over-the-top blessing. We've been placed into, baptized into, incorporated into Christ. Galatians 3:26 talks about this, and I'll just read this to you. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're all sons of God. If you trusted Christ, you're a son or daughter of God in Christ, for all of you have been baptized into Christ. placed into, brought into union with Jesus Christ. Now, I have to bring one of my little containers. My wife loves me because I always keep containers, right? I got a closet full of junk. But anyway, this is my container for today. Now, let's say this is my special container. But I have one addition I'm going to add to my container. And that is Mr. Lego Man. Okay? Now, I don't know. We'll name him Bob. Okay, we'll name him Bob. Bob the Lego dude, right? Okay, now Bob, let's say Bob has had a bad day. He needs a little ride. I put him in my container. Now, this is the Lego capsule, right? It is very superior. It protects him. But wherever the Lego container goes, Bob, Lego Man, he's still here. He's there, yeah. Bob the Lego Man is going with us, right? So he is in the container, right? Now, I know this is a goofy illustration, so forgive me before we get further. But anyway, if I take him and do my, I love, isn't he a great guy? Liam, such a great guy. Would you protect my container, okay?
Sure.
And Bob's going to be with it, so protect Bob too, okay? In the container. Now, I want you to get something. The Lego Man's not quite as big a deal as this other deal. When we're placed into Christ, what is true of Christ has benefit for us. When we have this container, and I give it back. Good catch. Okay, good catch. I give it back. So, Lego Man, hopefully his head's still on, he's in the container, right? He's with Liam. What happened to the container happens to Lego Man. What happened to Christ has benefit for us because we're in Christ. Makes all the difference. This is, if we can grasp this, it will change the way we view ourselves and the way we view life. We're in Christ. Now, let's think about this. We're baptized into Christ. As certainly as we are in Him, we partake of the benefit of two awesome things. Now, note, let's read our verse. We're baptized, verse 3, baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death. Now, let's just think about this. Christ died for us to pay for our sins, but this is an addition. This is beyond that. He not only died for me, I died with Him in this positional, spiritual reality sense. That death separates me so that sin does not have to rule me. Because I am in Him. Not because I'm cool, not because I'm strong, not because, you know, I figured it all out, but because who He is and what He has done, and I am in Him by the Spirit's work, I am in Him, I participate in the benefits of what He's accomplished. This is over the top. Notice, therefore, verse 4, therefore, having been buried with Him through baptism into death, separation from the power of sin, this is so that, okay, so death separates me. Sin will still yell out commands to you. Jump! Get mad! Gossip! Sin yells at us. You know, or sometimes it just comes in and nudges us. Do it. You did it all last year. Do it again. Because I'm in Christ, I don't have to give in to that. I can give in, but I don't have to give in because I'm in Him. I've been placed into Christ. And then the wonderful other side. We've been buried with Him through baptism and death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead. So now we go from death to resurrection. We participated in His death. We also participate in His resurrection. Notice, so as through Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we also might walk in newness of life. Now just think. God has done something for you and for me. Those who have trusted Christ our Savior, we now have the privilege to say no to the things that are sinful and self-destructive. And also we have the privilege, we're in Christ, we have the privilege now to walk in newness of life. Christ died, he rose, we participate in his death, we participate in his life, we share in his resurrection life, because we share in him, and he's living, he's alive. And because of that, we now have the potential, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege to walk in newness of life. But see, if we don't know what we've got, we can have it, but not enjoy it. And the Lord says, I want you to know what you got. I want you to know how to live. I want you to get the most out of life. I want you to not only to have life, but as Christ said, that you might have it abundantly. And isn't that what we want? We don't want to rip ourselves off by not understanding what God has provided for us in Christ. These are huge concepts. And they don't necessarily come quickly. The Spirit of God has to open our thoughts and open our minds so we can appreciate what is provided. But being liberated from the power of sin is possible because we're identified, we're in Christ in his death and resurrection. And we can begin to understand what that means and begin to participate in that and begin to grow. Begin to grow. It's not going to happen overnight because growing is a process. But if we don't know the truth, we're not going to learn how to walk in the truth. You know, I understand when they train, you know, like elephants for a circus. You know, you start out with a little dinky elephant, right? I don't know how dinky they are. Maybe they're there. And then they put a you know, thing around their foot. And then they drive, that chain has a chain to it, and then they drive a peg in the ground, deep peg. And so that elephant, just a little, he wants to go somewhere, right? You think, I want to go get a snack. But he pulls, right? And he can't go. He can't go. He can't go. The thing won't come up. He's stuck. He's caught. He's trapped. Now, as the elephant gets bigger, as he grows, he's, you know, obviously the thing gets a little larger around his leg. Still got the chain. But you know what? When he becomes a big elephant, he could easily pop that thing right out of the ground. But you know what? Because he's been pinned down to the ground for years, when he feels that little tug, he doesn't think he can get free. And so he just stays right where the peg's at, attached to the chain. He doesn't go. You know, a lot of Christians, we can be in that same zone. If we don't know what we have, the sins of the past, the sins that haunt us, the sins that we struggle with, it's like we think like that elephant who's large now, we can't get free. It's impossible. We can't break free. And so we just keep on, keeping on, keeping on, not knowing. Do you not know? God wants us to know the provision that is ours in Christ so that we can live and walk in newness of life. That's the path he wants us to travel. May we not miss the journey. Let's pray. God, open our eyes to see just how wonderful your provision is. Not just to become a believer, not just to become a Christian, not just to start the Christian life, but to live the Christian life, to really live it. God, help us understand what you've provided for us in Christ so we can walk in the newness of his life. This we ask in Jesus' name.